Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Stop Struggling, Rising to Your Highest and Best Contribution. I'm Mark Shaw, and you're listening to the Life Coach Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. Recently, Blog Talk Radio has given our rather young, less than 2 months old network the honorable distinction of featured status on the Blog Talk Radio network. We're really excited about that here at Life Coach Radio. We've been growing with an average of about 300 listeners per show, and my last show had more than 550 listeners. So we're very proud and excited to be growing so fast in such a short time, and we thank all of our supporters and listeners out there. Please keep letting us know what it is you want to hear us talk about, and we'll talk about it. You can like us on Facebook at Life Coach Radio Network to be kept up to date about our schedule. We have one show every day hosted by any one of our almost 30 coaches from around the world. And I'm very proud to be one of them, and I'll be telling you a little bit later about how the regularity of my show will be happening after today. So before we begin today's topic, I want to dedicate this show to the memory of two people whom our profession lost this past week. Two radio hosts, not from Life Coach Radio Network, but from broadcast radio station WBAI in New York. Psychotherapist Lynn Rosen and Life Coach John Littig, who hosted a radio show on WBAI called The Pursuit of Happiness. Sadly, they both took their own lives last week here in Brooklyn. Those of us in the life coaching profession and those in the psychotherapy profession, needless to say, are shocked and saddened by this news. Those of us in the helping professions are familiar with the issues that are raised by suicide and depression and often see and provide support for our clients facing these issues. They're not easy issues to wrap our minds around, especially when it happens to someone who provides help to others in the area of finding happiness in their lives. So we ask that the public join us in offering our condolences and support to those affected by this tragedy. There are certainly critics out there whose comments imply that there's something disingenuous about someone who's challenged in this way engaging in the activity of helping other people find happiness. We, however, understand how complex these issues are and stand in love and respect, not such harsh judgment. And we ask that you join us in offering our condolences, peace, and love. Our thoughts and prayers go out to John and Lynn, their families, and their listeners. And I dedicate my program tonight to John and Lynn. With me tonight is our executive producer, Mr. Russ Terry, who is a life coach and actually was one of my students at the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching, also known as IPEC, which is one of the premier coach training and certification schools in the country. Russ is the creator and producer, executive producer of Life Coach Radio Network, and he just started last year as a life coach. And tonight, he acquired his 43rd client in 14 months, which is really great. We're very excited for him about that. Russ used to be a TV anchor and reporter and now has combined his prior and current career to bring all these great coaches and content to you. So we're very happy to have Russ here with us this evening. Say hey, Russ.
Hello, Mark. Hello, all of our Life Coach Radio Network listeners.
So great to have you here, Russ. It's really exciting. You've just done such a great job on getting this network up and running, and it's just really great to have you as my guest today. So.
Oh, my gosh. It's great to be your guest. You're one of our star hosts, obviously the top-rated show we've had so far, and you've just stepped in and done an incredible job with your content and the promotion and every aspect. So I'm just so glad and grateful we're on this journey together.
Oh, thank you. So am I. So am I, Russ. It's a pleasure. So thank you. So so two logistical things just to facilitate your participation in tonight's show. First, if you're listening live and you'd like to call in and ask a question or make a comment, the number to call is 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. If you're already dialed into that number listening by phone and you decide to ask a question or comment, just press 1, and that will put you in the question queue. You can also chat with other listeners in our online chat room at the show's site. Secondly, there is a handout that will make it much easier to follow along visually with today's content. If you haven't yet downloaded it, you can get it from the episode page. You're probably listening to the show from that page. If not, just go to blogtalkradio.com/Life Coach Radio Network and click the show title, Stop Struggling, Rise to Your Highest and Best Contribution. Scroll down in the show description and you'll see two links. The first one is the link to take the assessment I'll be speaking about. The second is the handout for you to follow along with. Download that second one, the handout, by copying and pasting that link into your browser. You can take the assessment if you'd like as well. Please feel free to do so after the program. Or if you're listening to this program by recording, then you might wish to stop the playback. Take the assessment. It will take you about 5 to 10 minutes. You'll get your results immediately, and then you can continue playback of the show and follow along. So now we've handled all the logistics and the ABCs. Tonight's topic is about what's known as our core value nature. Have you ever wondered why you've put forth so much energy to be successful with some things, while other things seem so much easier for you? Why you naturally find some things more engaging than others? Have you ever noticed that the more engaging something is for you, the less energy you have to expend on it to be effective at it? So a lot of my clients are challenged by these kinds of things, ultimately I think we're all struggling to have a life that's easier, more productive, and more fulfilling, one where we can really rise to our highest and best contribution and not have to exhaust ourselves doing so. How many of you feel like you have a career or a life that's aligned with the things you naturally find engaging? What if you did have this? What difference would that make for you? There are many things that affect engagement. And in the coming weeks on my program, I'm going to talk about two amazing tools that I use with my clients to help them discover more about themselves, what they find engaging and why, and how to increase their engagement. One is called the Core Values Index, or the CVI, and the other is called the Energy Leadership Index, or the ELI. So tonight, I'm going to focus on the CVI. So before the program, I actually had Russ take the CVI so that he can kind of learn a little bit from it, and I'm going to do a little bit of a partial debrief for him. And again, those of you who are listening to the show, if you've already taken your CVI, which you can take for free on the show site, you'll be able to follow along as well and kind of get a sense of your results. So, Russ, what I'd like to ask you about right now is some of the things that you learned when you took the CVI this weekend. What are just some of the brief highlights and insights about what you got from reading your results report?
Certainly there was a validation there that, yes, this tool is accurate. It's a great reflection of who I aspire to be and who I think I currently am. The one key line it says in my results is, when you enter a room, there is more love and wisdom energy suddenly in that room, which is just a perfect way to sum up everything that I'm about. So that in and of itself was great. And because the tool is new to me, I looked at it with a critical eye and said, okay, you know, is this something, valid, et cetera, just because obviously I don't want to go on the radio talking about something that isn't. I certainly trust mm-hmm. you, but I wanted to figure it out for myself. So I can honestly say that I did figure out for myself, okay, this is great. You know, this has my attention. This nailed me right on the head. So let me read more. The other, it was interesting taking the assessment itself, just forced to decide between the different values, the V in the values, deciding between them, which, you know, it's kind of like those tests where you took in school multiple choice that said what is the best answer, because in many cases I did feel more than the two that I was supposed to choose, but I really was forced to think quickly, okay, these answers are all good, but which are the two that are most compelling for me?
Right. Great. Great. And actually, you may see in a little bit why the way that the assessment typed you out actually confirms that very thought process that you had while taking
the
assessment. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And you'll see why that is when we talk about the innovator energy part of you. So very good, very good. So what we're going to talk about And what the assessment points to is our unique, innate, unchanging core value nature. It's what determines what we find engaging and what and how we contribute to the world. So in any relationship or situation, we're either contributing, we're either in contributing mode or we're in taking and getting mode. We can't be in both at the same time. We're either contributing to a relationship or we're contributing to a situation, or we're in taking and getting mode where we're looking to get something from it. When we're in our usual contributing mode, there's a certain way that we're sort of hardwired to contribute. So we each contribute in different ways. You look at people that you know, they show up in a room differently, and they each contribute different kinds of energy to the room, different kinds of talents to the room. And so we're each designed to contribute in a specific way, much as different models of cars are designed to perform in different ways for different types of purposes. Some of us are Porsches, some of us are Volvos. Both are valuable, beautiful vehicles that provide different but desirable qualities to those who benefit from their contribution. So the other thing that this assessment points to is the notion that when we're faced with our deepest fear, we protect ourselves by switching into what's known as our conflict strategy. And the conflict strategy is nothing more than our dark side that comes out to protect us. And we switch into taking and getting mode via our conflict strategy. So that's pretty much what I'm going to be pointing to. So what I want to just point out to start with is that there's a universal mission that we all come into the world with. We come into the world with these three things. There's who we are, which is our core value nature. There's what we are, which is how we express that core value nature into the world, the roles that we play, the jobs that we have, our behavior. And then the third is some unknown quantity of time within which we want to make a contribution. So we each have a unique recipe of spiritual core values that cause us to want to make a certain type of contribution in a certain way during the time that we're here. And this is based on a lot of the research and theory of Abraham Maslow, one of the fathers of psychology. Many of you may remember his hierarchy of needs. And one of the things that he spoke about was that on the way to the top of that pyramid, which is self-actualization, that we are supported by this set of core values, and that when we're expressing those, that's when we get to be self-actualized. So if you look at the handout that I sent you there, Russ, and then listeners, if you're looking at that four-color chart handout, you'll see that those core values are the words in yellow there. They're power, love, wisdom, and knowledge. So I'm going to explain actually what those are, and then we'll talk about specifically how that shows up for you, Russ, when you see what it's like that you're a merchant innovator. So for those of you that are looking at your results, you want to see what is your primary and what is your secondary. Are you a merchant innovator? Are you an innovator merchant? Are you a merchant builder or any combination thereof? And one is your primary and one is your secondary. There are specific scores that you've received with numbers in all four quadrants. Unless you took the free CVI, which many listeners may have, then you can see the quadrants relative to one another in the graphic. But what you don't have is the number scores. But I'm going to tell you how to get those upgraded to the full report in just a little bit. So we're going to start with the merchant, which is that upper right-hand quadrant. The merchant's core value, okay? So while the core values are love, wisdom, knowledge, and power, there's these four stylized words that we've used to sort of make the tool a little bit more corporate friendly, as well as personally friendly in the personal life coaching realm. And that's merchant, innovator, banker, and builder. So the merchant's primary core value, merchant's core value is love. What is love? Love is working towards an inspired vision of what can be by nurturing the core values in oneself and others. So strong merchants, people who are love-based, tend to have a very strong connection. They value connection, and they tend to have a very strong appreciation for things like art, music, aesthetics, because those are all things that connect us to the world around us and connect us to people around us. So the merchant really values connection, and that's what love really talks about. Each core value has a catalytic value that supports it, and basically the catalytic value has to be present in order for us to express our core value. So the catalytic value basically works like a dimmer on your wall. When you turn the dimmer down, Russ, what happens to the light bulb's ability to emit light?
obviously there is not as much light.
Exactly. So it diminishes, right? So when there is not enough of the catalytic value present, it's hard for us to express our core value. So the catalytic value for the merchant you'll see there is truth, which is the way things are. So in order for the merchant to really emit their love energy into the world, into the room, into the relationship, truth has to be present. If we turn the dimmer down on truth and the love-based person, the merchant, feels that there's not enough truth in the situation, that the other person is either hiding the truth from them, or maybe they're just not opening up as easily as we'd like them to, we get anxious. The merchant gets anxious. So what happens is their anxiety begins to increase. It becomes harder and harder to contribute love to that situation. And eventually we cross the line that anxiety becomes fear. It becomes our biggest fear. And our biggest fear is always the opposite of the core value. So when the anxiety increases to the biggest fear for the merchant, bigger fear, the merchant's biggest fear is, again, the opposite of the core value, which is love. So it's the merchant's biggest fear is that they will have no love in them for this person. They might actually even hate this person. This person might not love or like them. That's the biggest fear. So they now get into taking and getting mode and shift into the conflict strategy. And the taking and getting mode, the conflict strategy for the merchant is manipulation. Manipulation looks like this. I'm going to pretend that everything is fine. I'm going to pretend that we have the connection. I'm going to kill them with kindness. They'll eventually love me, and I'll love them. Or if they feel hurt by the other person, then they might actually begin to talk about how I'm just trying to be nice and lovely, and look how this person is treating me. That's the manipulation. Once the truth gets restored, however, and the merchant feels the truth is brought back to the relationship, they then go back to really contributing love and connection to that relationship and that situation. And their contribution styles, they contribute to a team or to a relationship. They contribute connection and relationships and vision of what's possible in the world, what's possible for the relationship, etc. And that's the merchant. The innovator, the core value of the innovator is wisdom. And wisdom is defined as seeing the way things are and knowing what to do about it. So the innovators, it's basically, you know, the innovator in us is the part of us that always is curious about the world around us. It wants to know why. How come? Why is this? Why is that? So for those of you that are coaches out there, we are in our innovator when we're asking all of our empowering, open-ended questions to our clients and just helping them figure it out, and we're really curious and we're really wondering about who our client is. So that's what wisdom is. The innovator is the idea generator and the problem solver in us. And by the way, while I talk about these things as almost like they're four different types of people, these are actually four distinct human energies. We have all four of them in us to varying degrees as indicated by the scores that you got there. So Russ, for example, so your scores, you had 26 points of merchant, you had 21 points of innovator, 16 points of builder, and 9 points of banker. So I'm going to talk about what that means, but your two highest scores were merchant and innovator, which means that's why you're a merchant innovator. And again, for listeners that don't have your number scores, don't worry about that, because I'm going to tell you later on how you can get your four numbers, but you can still see what your primary and secondary are in your free report. So wisdom, back to wisdom of the innovator, wisdom, the catalytic value is compassion, which is remaining empathetic and curious regardless of the behavior and emotions of others. And when we turn the dimmer down on compassion, okay, so for example, people are no longer curious about our wisdom. Maybe they don't care. We have something to contribute, and they're like, I don't have time to hear it. Why do we have to do this way? Can't we just do it the way we've always been doing it? Why are you always changing things? We get anxious. So the innovator in us becomes anxious. Eventually, the innovator's biggest fear it kicks in. So their conflict strategy kicks in, which the biggest fear for the innovator, again, it's the opposite of the core value. So the core value is wisdom. So the innovator's biggest fear is the opposite of wisdom, or foolishness. Innovator's biggest fear is appearing foolish. So the conflict strategy kicks in, and they begin to interrogate. So the interrogate strategy does this. It's still asking questions like the innovator does, but the questions now have an edge, and they're designed to make the other person look foolish. So when the innovator is in their conflict strategy, they may sound like a prosecuting attorney on a witness stand who's trying to discredit a witness. Weren't you the one that's always complaining about this? Aren't you the one that said? And they could become very difficult, as we all can when we're in our conflict strategy. Once compassion is returned, to that relationship, the conflict strategy kicks out, and the person is able to contribute true wisdom again. The way the innovator contributes to the world and to their teams is through assessing and solving. They provide assessments and solutions of situations. So, Russ, you said before that you really wanted to know about if you can trust the tool, and you kind of picked it apart and all that kind of stuff. That's your innovator, and you're a strong innovator with 21 points. So it's always the innovator that questions the tool and wants to know more about how it works.
So fascinating.
Yeah, yeah, it is. So I'm going to go into the other two energies, and then I kind of want to hear what you have, what's coming up for you. So then there's the banker, if we go to the bottom left. The core value of the banker is knowledge, which is knowing the facts through research, measurement, proof, and records. Okay, and this is a different kind of knowing that the merchant or the builder, which we haven't gotten to yet, has. The merchant and the builder tend to know things intuitively. They just know, and they're ready to move. The banker and even the innovator, they need more information and research and data before they're able to make decisions. So they're much more cognitive in their approach to things. So the banker, they need measurement, proof, and records, right? That's the banker in us. And that's the core value that's catalyzed by the catalytic value of justice, which is basically fairness, ensuring the equity of access, accountability, compensation, opportunity. So as soon as the banker feels that the information that they're contributing, okay, isn't being used fairly for everybody's benefit, they begin to withdraw and shut down. They don't like when things aren't fair, so they won't share the information anymore. So their conflict strategy kicks in, and they go into aloof judgment. They withdraw, they shut down. It's a more passive-aggressive conflict strategy than the other ones, which are more overt. Once they feel that justice is restored, they will begin to contribute their knowledge, their information. So this is the person on your team that has every bit of data and information that everybody needs. You want to know this information? Go to the banker. So their contribution to the team and to the world is all about conservation of resources and data and information. And then moving up to the builder, the core value is power. Power not in a negative sense. Power meaning the personal energy invested to make a positive difference. Power is catalyzed by the catalytic value of faith, which is I know what to do now and I will know what to do next. My power is sufficient. If we turn the dimmer down on faith, what does that look like? Maybe somebody starts questioning the builder and expressing that they don't have faith in the builder's decisions. Or the builder loses self-confidence. They get anxious. Eventually, they're faced with their biggest fear. Their biggest fear is the opposite of power. They fear that they're going to have no power. So their conflict strategy kicks in to protect them, and that's intimidation. So when you see a power-based person in their conflict strategy, they're yelling and screaming and pushing people around and threatening, maybe cursing, and they're intimidating. And they get people to react. They get what they want in the short term. There's no long-term buy-in from it, but they do get compliance in immediate sense. So conflict strategy does tend to work, but only for a short period of time. Once their faith is... contributions to the team are action and results. This is a part of us that's always in action and always getting stuff done. So the builder and the merchant, which are on the top half of this chart, are intuitive, and the banker and the innovator are more cognitive. Then if we divide the chart right and left, the merchant and the innovator on the right are creative, where the builder and the banker on the left are practical. And then thirdly, if we go diagonally and we look at the merchant in the upper right-hand corner and the banker in the lower left, the merchant and the banker, they prefer to work in concert with other people and work on teams. The builder and the innovator, the other direction, they tend to prefer to work independently. You'll often hear the builder say things like, leave me alone, let me get this done. And you'll often hear the innovator say, leave me alone, let me figure this out. And they may tend to see working with other people as an impediment to their progress instead of in service to it. So, Russ, tell me a little bit about what you see for yourself as I go through those four energies.
Yeah, well, just to pick up on your last point about how when merchant and innovator are teamed together, as is the case with me, the person is creative. And I definitely strive to be creative. It's one of my core values. And I'm glad that this tool reinforces that. It's something I like being creative. I like coming up with ideas. I like being strategic. So all of that totally resonates with me. It's funny, my lowest score was banker, and mm-hmm. I agree with that 1,000%. I'm definitely not the type of person to, you know, do research. Oh my gosh, shoot me now if I have to research something or go through all the facts in detail. You know, as you right. may or may not know, Mark, I used to be a CPA, and uh-huh. the point that I got out of being an auditor was when I was there for a while and then had to move up and do the really complex accounting issues and mm-hmm. sit there and read a FASB, they called it. That's the technical accounting bulletin that describes uh-huh. everything in detail, which even talking about it now, I know you probably are not a banker either. You're like, oh, my God.
No, I have 11 points at banker, so not much more
oh,
than you.
Oh, you do. Okay. So, yeah, exactly. I think that's probably yeah. why we get along, like we were saying before we came on the air, because we have similar personalities. Not to say that yep. you always get along with similar personalities, but I think we certainly understand each other best.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, so the thing is, it's not about what you're good at, right? Because you were good as an accountant. You were effective. You were good at it, right?
Right.
But it took you more energy to do that than it takes you to do the things that you do now that are more in line with your merchant and your innovator. It's
exactly.
about what we naturally find engaging, right? So what's interesting is if you think of this from a hiring perspective, right, who would you rather hire for a job? Somebody who's got years of experience doing it but isn't fully engaged because they don't really find it very joyful. Or somebody who doesn't have a lot of experience but they're hardwired in such a way they are going to be so motivated and excited to learn that job. They're going to be really great at it and they're going to love it and they're going to stay late and they're going to give it 110%.
Oh, my gosh, the latter, definitely. And it's so funny. I was just thinking, you know, had I taken this tool all those years ago before I was an auditor, perhaps I would have seen that it wasn't something that I wanted to do long term.
Right, right, exactly. So the earlier in our lives we get exposed to this, right, the better off we are, because it really confirms what it is that we like to do, what we find engaging. You know, it's kind of like we're each here to make a specific kind of contribution. If you look at Steve Jobs or you look at Beethoven, right? They were clearly, there's nothing else that they could possibly have been meant to do to contribute to the world other than what they did. They wouldn't have been as happy and fulfilled doing anything other than making the impact that they made, right? So that's really like we're here to do something, and this really helps us, and this is when I work with my clients on this, really help you figure out what kind of contribution do you really enjoy making, and then how can you really create a life that's in line with that.
And honestly, right. Mark, I can see this tool really helping people that don't know what they want to do. But when you force them to select which of the values are the most key to them, then it really summarizes in a nice, easy to understand way what they like to do. And then once I think people see this, who haven't been exposed to this or haven't done assessments such as this, they can really figure out, okay, this is what I like to do. What careers
yes.
are in this area?
Yes, and I'm going to address that actually. I just going to make an announcement since we're about the halfway point through the show. But remind me, I want to address the thing about what career do I choose based on this.
Okay.
But the first thing that I want to say, I just want to announce our next three shows. So that's tomorrow night on June 10th, Frank Talk, The Power of Habit, where you get to learn some simple ways to rewire your life and change habits that are holding you back. And then Tuesday night on the 11th is Fund to Fortune, Entrepreneur Startup Success with Coach Jeff. Callers and guests will share their inspiration, their business, and what makes it fabulous, challenges and obstacles, and what helps them preserve and prosper. And also before the end of the show, I'm going to announce a very special offer that you're not going to want to miss. I'm going to be telling you how you can take advantage of an upgrade to your full CVI report, which is more extensive than the free one that you may have already taken out there, and to get a personal live one-on-one debrief of your CVI with me. It'll also tell you how you can join me in my amazing four-part interactive teleseminar series, where I will partner with you to evaluate your CVI results and apply them over the course of several weeks so that you can be more successful in your life. In the meantime, you can check out my website for more info on that if you'd like at www.markschall.com, M-A-R-K-S-C-H-A-L-L.com, and then just click on the radio show tab, and you'll see all the details there. The number to call us here at the Life Coach Radio Network, 646-716-9397. If you have questions or you're looking at your own CVI, you have questions, or just anything that you want to comment on and share, please feel free to call in and let us know that. I'd love to take your call and answer your questions. And you can also join us in the chat room if you'd like to chat with other listeners if you're listening live. So again, 646-716-9397. So getting back to where we were, yeah, Russ, so you talked about what career, and this is really, really important with this tool. The CVI is the exact opposite of the cookie-cutter approach that many assessments take towards helping people discover what kind of a job they want. So the tool does not say, okay, this profile is really great for this kind of job, and here's the reason why. What we have found is that the same job title across 10 different companies has 10 very, very, looks 10 very, very different ways. There are very different tasks associated with them. So it's important that it's not about the title of the job that's appropriate for a person. It's about what are the tasks that the person is supposed to be doing and how much time do they spend on those tasks. Right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? So, you know, a job title of something in one company might have more banker-related tasks of working with numbers than another. Or it might have, you know, might require people to do some public speaking from time to time, whereas that same job in another industry or another company might not have that public speaking component just because of the way jobs evolve over time and people pick up other responsibilities and whatnot. So actually, this is more about helping people focus on the kinds of tasks so that way they can get clear when they look at a job description, a particular job description for a particular job, not just the title. They can get a sense of, oh, well, now that I know what I'll be doing and how much time I'll be spending them, does this fit with my core value nature? And on the company side of things, this can be used and is often used as a pre-hiring tool where companies can have their job descriptions analyzed by Taylor Protocols, who created the CVI, and they can create a top performer profile, and they can say, okay, for this job, based on the tasks and the percentage of time, the person who would be a top performer in this position should have a profile that looks like this. And there's a whole scientific method that I don't have time to get into now about how they do that, but it's based on who's currently in the position and their performance levels and all these complicated algorithms. And it's really, really a fascinating process. And then when people apply for the job, they all take the CVI, and then we look at the resumes of the people that have the top, that fit the top performer profile, and then we look for experience, and then we look for fit. And it guarantees, literally guarantees, a top performer in the job. That if that person doesn't work out 3 months later, then Taylor Protocols redoes this whole process free of charge for their company client. They've only had 5 such recalls in the last 25 years of doing this work. So it's really, really an amazing matchmaker kind of program. It's great to use with couples. I often use it with couples in my couples coaching. They get to see their different ways of looking at the world, their different conflict strategies. It's really amazing. So I'll tell you a little bit about when I got introduced to the CVI. The gentleman who debriefed me, the first thing he said to me, all he knew was that I was a life coach and that I did, you know, training presentations to teach life coaches and corporate training and stuff. So all he knew about me, and in 5 minutes he said, so looking at your numbers, here's what I'm going to tell you. Put you in front of a room and people fall in love with you. But get to your back office stuff, like your tax receipts and invoices and all that kind of stuff, your life's a mess and always has been. I was like, you can tell that by 4 numbers? And that's because I have very low banker and very low builder. I'm a very, very strong merchant innovator. I'm a very, very strong merchant and secondary innovator. So I'm all about connecting with people, and I do that, and that's not like a skill. It's the way I'm wired. That's the energy that is in the room. Same thing for you, Russ. You walk into a room, that's the energy that's present because you're a very strong merchant. You connect with people. You don't try to do that. It just happens, and people are drawn to you. That's what happens for the merchant. The innovator is the idea maker. So merchant innovators, which, by the way, most life coaches are merchant innovators, which makes sense as to why, really strong merchant innovators with low banker and low builder specifically have great ideas, but then they never come to fruition. Because the builder, they need enough builder energy to get it done. So when I got my CVI debriefed, I learned why my life looks like the way it does. And the gentleman who debriefed me said to me that he said, yeah, he said, and that makes total sense. He says, I also have a very low banker. And he said, when I was a coach, I would have to do all my banker tasks on Friday, and it would take me 6 hours to do all my invoicing and all my billing and filing tax receipts so that I have them ready for tax time and all that. I had to pump myself up on coffee, turn the stereo up, take a break every 10 minutes to go get more coffee, and I was exhausted by the end of having to do all that. Because he didn't have enough banker energy to do it. He didn't enjoy it. He was so unengaged in it. Then he hired an assistant. He hired an assistant who's got strong banker energy, who lives for that stuff, loves it, right? Paying her $20 an hour, she's able to get that stuff done in 1 hour, and he has 6 billable hours back in his schedule. It increases his income $4,000 a month. No one would hire me to...
I just want to jump in for a second, and you have an assistant and I have an assistant, which I just think is so freaking crazy that all of us are similar in that way. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. I got my assistant after I got my CVI debriefed and saw, yeah, I need an assistant. I am not going to be able to get on top of this stuff in any way that will have a long-term satisfactory effect on me.
Yeah, and when people who are like us get an assistant for something like that, or, you know, the opposite, people get an assistant, you know, whatever, to do something that you don't want to handle, it just really sets you up and frees you up, as you said, to concentrate on the stuff you love.
Absolutely. And the stuff that you contribute to people best with.
Yeah.
Right? No one would want to hire me to be their bookkeeper. They would fire me in a heartbeat. So why would I keep myself employed as my own bookkeeper for my business?
Yeah.
Right?
So smart.
So that's kind of what it comes down to. So as I use this tool with my clients, it's just opened their eyes so much into how they're wired and how they can, you know, align their lives differently and align their careers and their jobs differently. If they're self-employed, they really get to see what they need to hire out or even develop. And that's the application of this tool, is what we do, and I do this with folks in my teleseminar series that's coming up that starts on June 13th, is we find what's known as the core value of focus, and that's the one that you really want to build upon. That if you increase the usage of the number of points that you have in that quadrant, if you increase that and use it more, it'll have the biggest impact on your life than if you work on any other one. But it's not just the next highest score, because it also has to be one that while it's the lowest integrated in your life, while it's the one that you're most not using, you also have to have a high enough number in that quadrant that indicates that you've got enough capacity for it. It's within your reach. And anything below an 11 is basically forget about it. You can't reach it. So to try to work on that is going to be frustration and very little success. So you want to work on one that has a higher number so that you can have some success in it. And then, of course, it's low enough that you're not, you know, it's out of you're not using it that much. So it's got to have what we call the highest capacity but lowest integration in your life. So in the teleseminar series, we actually talk about how to do that, and there's amazing homework assignments that really start moving your life to a whole nother level when you really start applying this stuff on a regular basis, which is really cool and really, really exciting. So I'm going to take questions from callers in just a few minutes. But, Russ, let me just kind of ask you, so what anything else you want to add from what you see in your insights with us?
No, I think this is really cool, and I appreciate you appreciating me for looking at it with a critical eye. But I can say, you know, I have no affiliation with this, buy-in with this, and I think it's a really great tool personally as an individual. just to see validation or to help seek clarity. And as a life coach, I think it's a great tool that gives me something else in my toolbox, as we say, that I could work with clients with. So thank you for including me and having me be the first guinea pig that we exhibited for the listeners.
Oh, great, certainly, and thanks for doing it. And we do have a caller that I'm going to pick up, so I'm picking up the caller whose last four digits of their phone number is 0125. So let's give this person the mic.
Oh, hey, that's me.
Hi.
Hey, Mark, this is Emily in Florida. How are you?
Emily, good, how are you? Nice to hear from you.
I'm great. Good. Mark, this is great. I love this stuff. I really have a question. I wanted to call in because since I took this CVI assessment, I've had really incredible insights into how I handle the world, both professionally and personally, and I've been applying this information, and it's really had a significant change in my life, and so I just wanted people to know about that.
Wow, excellent. So what's the most significant shift that it's caused you? And while you think about that for a moment, let me just also add that the key with this is to learn how to shift among the different energies, because we tend to default. I just dropped the phone, and I hope that everybody can still hear me. I apologize for that. Okay, great. So, so it's really about shifting among these energies, because we tend to favor the one that's easiest for us, and that's the one that we have the highest number in. But there are some situations that call for merchant energy, and some that call for banker, some that call for builder, etc. So if we're not in the right energy for the right situation, we're not going to be as effective. So the more flexibility we have, the better. So I'm guessing, Emily, because I remember when I debriefed your CBI, what some of your challenges were, so I'm guessing it lived in that area, which is why I wanted to kind of just fill that in. So tell us, what are the insights, and what have you seen, that you've gotten, and what have you seen in applying this?
Okay, well, just like you and Russ, I'm very heavy in merchant and innovator.
Uh-huh.
And I understood that my core values were all about the fact that I wanted people to love me.
Mm-hmm.
And that I wanted people to feel love. I really got that. I started looking back at very specific situations from work and where I would have conflict. And this one incident really popped up for me. I used to lead groups, and I was really successful with it. And I had 15 different groups every single week. And my management thought I was terrific and came to me one day and said, "We have a group that is extremely difficult. There's a room full of women that just want to take control of this meeting. And we know, Emily, that you're going to be able to go in there and handle it perfectly." Not exactly what happened. Because I walked in, looking back now, I understand what happened, right?
Yeah,
I walked in and I just wanted them to love me. And so I came in and I did what I did in all my other meetings, and they showed me love, and I went, yes, I won them over. Fabulous. And then I went back the next week, and they totally manipulated me and totally tried to take control. And it was this battle back and forth. And I got angrier and angrier, and not at them, but within the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I was more and more frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, I, like many people before me, asked to be reassigned.
Mm.
And so what I realized now after we did this is that I was taking all of this very personally. And I was being focused in on, they need to love me, and I'm going to do whatever I have to get them to love me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
So before you continue, so what's really interesting is what they saw at your organization was you're a very strong merchant. They knew that you walk into a room and you connect. So what's the best person to put in this difficult room is that person, and that's what they saw, right? They saw your merchant. And they saw that. What's interesting is what you just said is, I will do whatever I have to do to be loved by them. That's the manipulation conflict strategy when you feel that people are withholding their love and truth from you. So that's what's going on there. So go ahead, continue.
Right. Well, and that, see, this, what was so insightful is that I never understood that. So I would have conflict, and I kept saying, what's wrong with me? What am I not doing right? Or what's wrong with them?
Yeah.
When I didn't understand that it was just different core values and that we're just approaching it from two different places. Mm-hmm. So it was really interesting. I recently joined a group, and we've met just a handful of times. And most of us, I would venture to guess, fall into the merchant innovator categories. There's one woman who, in the middle of our meeting, just started to rip into another woman. And then she started to analyze and pick on all of us. And everyone started to defend themselves and get very angry. And you could feel the tension in the room just rising.
Mm-hmm.
And my instinct was, I'm going to get this woman to see my point of view and to love me like I think she does. And I'm going to have to start defending myself. And I realized immediately that that was me trying to manipulate her.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I was able to do was to take a deep breath and to simply step out of the situation and listen to her. Put my coaching hat on and listened to her. Got out of the need to be in control of the situation, and it diffused everything.
Yes, absolutely. And so what's really amazing about, so it diffused everything, and the situation was much more palatable for you, and you probably had a much more positive result from it, right?
But not only for me, but for her as well.
Absolutely. Because for both of you, yes.
For both of us, exactly.
Yes. And that's the relationship piece. And that ultimately serves your merchant again, because you want to have a relationship that works for both of you. But the merchant strategy wasn't going to create it. What you did was you switched to your innovator. The innovator is the one that's curious, stands back and assesses and wonders why and asks why and just listens and is open and is empathetic. That's our innovator. That's what you shifted to. You realized that the manipulation wasn't working. So you shifted to your innovator, and it was effective. And do you see how ultimately that went? That goes back and serves your merchant, because then you have the relationship that works for the both of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the really interesting part of all this, is that when we learn how to shift to the energy, how to recognize that the energy we're using isn't working, use another one. And you know what? It doesn't even matter which one you switch to. Just switch out of the one that's not working.
Right.
You got a 1 in 3 chance of getting it right. Because there's only 3 others, right? And it's amazing. And the shifts that I've seen clients make in their lives as a result of learning how to do that have just been profound. So that's really great. Emily, thank you. Thank you for that, for calling in and sharing that. I really appreciate that. Russ, anything you see in that or you want to add or say to what Emily shared?
No, I just think, you know, energy attracts like energy, and it's just really cool that the three of us, you know, Mark, you're the connection point between the two of us, and the three of us have a similar profile, so I think it's natural that we're drawn to each other.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, so if you look at our scores, so Emily, I've brought your scores up. So, Russ, you've got 26 points of merchant. Emily, you've got 27. I've got 29.
Wow.
You know, so it is interesting because all three of us are coaches, and coaches tend to be merchant innovators. And in the innovator quadrant, Russ, you've got 21 points. Emily, you've got 20, and I've got 24. Builder is what's a little bit different. You guys are 1 point apart at 16 and 15, Russ and Emily, respectively. I've got, for Builder, I have 8.
Wow.
So I don't get much done, but I've got really great ideas about what to get done. And in the banker quadrant, we're all very similar, 1 or 2 points apart, with 9, 10, and 11, respectively. So, yeah, so we do show up very similarly. And it's kind of like this is sort of it's a profile of how you show up in the world. What walks into the room when you walk into the room? So it's either wise power, or it's wise love, or it's loving wisdom, or it's wise knowledge, or knowledgeable wisdom, you know, your primary and your secondary. And you can see how people show up differently in that. So It's really great. So, Emily, thank you so much for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for introducing me to this. This has really had a huge impact on my life.
Ah, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. And good luck to you. And thanks again for calling in.
Thanks.
So, so this is really amazing. You know, I was working with somebody once who I did his CVI, and he had worked in another industry, and now he works in a different one. And the industry he was working in, he was also a very strong merchant, did not value his merchant qualities. It was a very different culture, and, you know, the warm fuzzies and connection and all that were just not what was needed on that job, and he struggled. He was pretty successful, but he struggled. He struggled for a long time, and when he left, felt beat up, and now is in a different career which really values and needs that merchant energy. And what was amazing was when he did this, he realized that the things that he got beaten up for in the other job, figuratively speaking, of course, but that he felt so emotionally beat up for, were really wonderful, beautiful qualities of how he contributes to the world. They're not weaknesses. The desire to connect, the ability to connect and establish rapport so quickly, and to nurture people's core value nature, right, and to know how to really listen and connect, that those were weaknesses to this person for the longest time, because in his work environment, those things were scoffed at. So he learned to relate to those as weaknesses, did the CVI, and it was such an amazing eye-opener for him. Caused a lot of tears, actually, as he realized these are beautiful qualities. And he kind of knew that all along, but had stuffed that. And is now able to be on a journey to connect with people in a whole new way and not be afraid of connecting with them. And that's a profound life shift. It's a profound, profound life shift. The number to call if anybody has any questions and would still like to call in the next few minutes, 646-716-9397. You know, it's really interesting. I work with so many people who are in jobs that don't light them up. They've got the skills, but they don't enjoy it. So how engaged are they? And so when they, you know, begin to get a sense of that, then there's a really great soul-searching process that's ready to occur of, okay, what do I want my life to look like? And again, with couples, when they're able to see their conflict strategies and not make each other wrong, or they're able to see how they contribute to the relationship differently. One partner might contribute to the relationship in a power way, all right, from the power quadrant. It's about getting the stuff done, all the practical stuff that has to get done in the relationship, you know, the taking care of the house, all the, like, the chore stuff. And then the other person might contribute more on the love side and really be the one that connects with the kids or, you know, whatever, in that way. They connect with the kids. They create the sense of emotional safety in the home. And if both those people do not value those contributions as equal in value to their own contribution, they're going to feel like, why am I doing all the work? Or why am I the one that's always, you know, got the emotional burdens, and why can't you do this? And they make each other wrong. But once they understand that's the way you're wired to contribute, and you want both of those in the relationship, and you only can have one, so you each that's why you combined. That's why you combined. So this is really such an incredibly valuable tool, and when I went and I got certified in it, it just really changed my life, for myself, as well as the way I've been able to serve my clients, which is just really exciting, just incredibly exciting for me. So I'd actually like to extend an offer to all the listeners on the show this evening. And this is really exciting, and I'm very excited to offer you. And what it is actually two options. So we've been talking about their number scores on the CVI. That the free CVI version that I was able to share with everybody prior to the show doesn't have the numbers. Again, it just has the graphics so that you can see which are your strongest, and it describes your two primary energies. You can actually upgrade your CVI to get the full report, which includes your numbers as well as a free copy of the Core Values Handbook, an electronic copy of it, that you can read on an e-reader of any type, Kindle, an iPad. The Core Values Handbook is the book that Lynn Taylor, who created the CVI, actually wrote about it. It's one of his three books. So if you're interested in doing that, go to your results page that pops up after you take the CVI, or click on the link that you got emailed about 10 minutes after you took the CVI, you'll be on your results page, and just click on the Upgrade CVI button. If you don't have that email, check your spam folder, and if you can't find it in your spam folder, you can go ahead and contact me through my website at markshaw.com and let me know you need your CVI results sent to you, and I can get them resent to you very quickly. The cost to do that upgrade is only $50, but I've got an even greater offer where you can save quite a bit of money. If you'd like to upgrade and do a one-on-one private one-hour debrief with me, then I'm making that available to you. Now, normally my individual session fee would be $225. The special price that I'm offering all my listeners is $147, and that includes the debrief and the CVI upgrade. You can go to my website and sign up. Just go to www.markshaw.com and click on the radio show page. Click on the radio show page, and the offer is all listed there, and you can register and sign up and take care of your payment through PayPal right there online. And an added bonus is if you choose to do that, second option, I'm going to add a bonus. I'm going to throw in a $50 gift certificate to apply toward the teleseminar series that I spoke of that starts on June 13th. So that series, the teleseminar series alone, is $147, but you get $50 off of that. So the total value of that option is about $420, and you get that all for just $147. So again, visit my website at markshaw.com for more information or to register. So as we wrap, I just want to thank you, Russ, and thank you, Emily, for calling in, and the other folks who I do see in the call queue, but I'm sorry, we won't have time to get to right now. And I see some activity in the chat room, so I know there's some folks that are at least listening that way as well. Thank you for a fun and informative evening. Be sure to listen to my show every other Sunday night here on the Life Coach Radio Network beginning July 7th. And you can watch the Facebook page that we have for Life Coach Radio Network for the time of that program, which is yet to be determined, but it will be every other Sunday night beginning July 7th. So you can go visit us on Facebook. Just look up the Life Coach Radio Network page, and you can keep informed that way of all of our shows with our many life coaches that do some really, really wonderful, wonderful programming here on the Life Coach Radio Network. So you also visit the Life Coach Radio Network directly on blogtalkradio.com by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Life Coach Radio Network, and you'll see the schedule for all of our fantastic shows, and you can check there for updates on my new showtime. Also follow me on Twitter at Mark Shaw, as well as on Facebook at facebook.com/Mark A. Shaw, my middle initial in there. And you can sign up for my newsletter on my website as well at markshaw.com. So, Russ, thank you. Any closing remarks you'd like to make before we sign off?
No, just thanks for having me on. Thanks for having a great show. I cannot wait till you're in your regular every other Sunday night spot. I know you are going to do a fantastic job. And if people want to connect with me, my website's RussTerryLifeCoach.com. That's RussTerryLifeCoach.com. And I'm also newly on Instagram, which I'm so excited about. On Instagram, I'm RussTerryLifeCoach. Russ Terry Life Coach. I'm on all the other things too, Facebook, Twitter, etc. But I'll just plug those two so you can have time to plug our other upcoming awesome shows. So thanks again, Mark. Great job tonight.
Great. Thank you, Russ. Thanks again for being here. And I'm just going to stick to Facebook and Twitter for a while. I just can't get on Instagram and do another social network. So
too much. I know.
too much. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And thank you for being out there and doing your own hard work on growing so that you can contribute to the world in the way that you were designed to do. I'm Mark Shaw, and you've been listening to the Life Coach Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, stay engaged, and have a little bit of fun each day. Thanks for listening.